Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm just trolling some Falcons fans on Twitter.
Oh, dude, they deserve it after today. Holy shit.
Oh, Atlanta Falcons UK have just said, the hilarious thing is there were literally 20 Panthers fans celebrating, LOL. So I'm reposting it saying, as a Falcons fan, not sure you should be talking about fans in a stadium.
So somebody, again, the signal, I was in my regular seats, the signal was shit, but I heard there was something going on with the fans there, and I finally did see a picture of it.
Oh, Panthers, there was no one there.
Holy shit.
It was really bad weather, though, like pissing down rain.
Yeah, I saw the clouds in the background, but still.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. But yeah, the game was...
it
didn't show much on Red Zone, put it that way.
Well, it didn't... it didn't help me having Bijan Robinson in week one of the fantasy playoffs in the big league. It was brutal. It was brutal. Whatever. Yeah. Fantasy football sucks. I say it every year and I play it every year and it fucking sucks every fucking year. So I had Keenan Allen was out. First game he's missed since last year. He was my best player. He was out.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor broke his thumb. He was out. And it's like, fuck. I was going against Pittman and Zach Moss, and they both got knocked out of the game yesterday. Now, they both had some points, but they got knocked out. So I'm like, okay, I got a kind of a break. And then typical fantasy football bullshit. Yeah. I like all the other fantasy sports, not football, but I still play it because I'm a moron.
What's up, Hoodout Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol Podcast 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show. The Dome Patrol Podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network. Well, the streaking New Orleans Saints have now won two straight following today's 24-6 win over the New York Giants. No touchdowns conceded in the last two games, and someone put a hit out on Tommy Cutlets today as the Saints sacked him seven times and the Giants could get nothing going. I think we've just seen Derek Carr's best game as a Saint, and it was certainly better than last week. And if anyone listened to our game preview earlier in the week, we were told that the Giants' O and D lines were not good, so I'm not going to get carried away yet. Or am I? Super Bowl, baby.
Oh, jeez.
I'm James, and I'm your host. And joining me to discuss today's game is Jason and Wesley. How are you guys?
Doing great.
Doing good.
Yeah, doing great. Today was a good day. Not much to complain about. I saw what you posted on Twitter after the fact, and so there's one thing we can actually complain about, but really there's not a ton to bitch about today. It's weird. I'm not used to it.
Yeah, no, it was very strange. It was a comfortable win, a comfortable game. It wasn't close.
Can I have something that's maybe like a non-traditional type of thing that I think is pretty valid to complain about today?
Go on then, yeah, fire
go
on.
For it.
I mean, we talked about last week that, you know, we have Jimmy Graham. Like, two of our biggest problems this year outside of our quarterback just not playing well has been, you know, lack of red zone production. Obviously lack of pass rush, which hasn't existed. And we figured out that Jimmy Graham, who was benched for 2 months for no reason, just because, like, we thought there were better matchups with other 53 people that we would do better with. You know, Jimmy Graham makes another appearance today, showing that we've had some close games this year. You're not going to convince me that if Jimmy Graham didn't play every game this year, that he doesn't have other touchdowns or other big first downs.
Yep.
And that there, and that would have possibly, you know, more scores, more points in close games could have benefited the Saints in those games.
Is that how it works? Is that too much of a stretch to say that?
I mean, the guy has six catches, he has four touchdowns and two big first downs. So, like, I'm going to say he's been impactful for the amount of snaps that he's got.
And I'll be honest, like, Jimmy's catches are the loudest cheers in the Dome all day.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
The loudest cheers. It gets the fans into it, which we've needed the last few weeks.
So I'm just going to say that if Jimmy Graham had been active for every single game, I think we have at least one more win.
At least one
I'm
more.
Just going to say that. I'm just at least one more win, which in this day and age right now with this division is one win is just enormous. Like, it puts you in sole first place and all. Well, the other thing that I mentioned, which was a huge problem, is that we have no pass rush whatsoever except for Granderson kind of flashing every once in a while. Well, Tano Passagnol, who has basically not played at all for the Saints, who had half a sack coming into today, is the team is forced to play him because of injuries and Cam Jordan not being able to play many snaps. And he has two and a half sacks today. I think three pressures or three quarterback hits. I mean, so again, maybe it's a one game thing and the Giants are just really bad and Passagnol just all worked out right. But like, or maybe we made a bad decision on who should be playing the snaps. And then I'll just add one more person because we have a player named Zach Bond that we drafted with a pretty decently high draft pick.
Second round.
That was a elite college pass rusher. And we have for 3.5 years not allowed him to rush the passer at all. Until, because of injuries, we have forced to, man, we got to put somebody up there. I guess we'll put Zach Bond over there, who has gotten a couple of sacks the last few weeks and is pressuring the quarterback and making an impact as a pass rusher. And so I'm just going to say my complaint is I don't know who's evaluating talent and deciding who's active on game day and who's starting, who's playing, but they're idiots. Because And these are the two places that you should have probably been taking a risk at some point with just starting anybody, because these two things were costing us games this year multiple times. And if we had these two things, I mean, again, Derek Carr kind of played awful, but we had really close games a lot. And I just think that both of these things would have impacted games. And I think that whether it's the Passagnol or Zach Bond or the Jimmy Graham, whoever's making the call, like, that person needs to be fired and not be back making decisions on an NFL team.
Again, 100%. We talked about that's a lot of the reason why the Saints are where we are this year, despite the easiest schedule in the history of the NFL, is our coaching. Coaching decisions, offensive game plan, defensive game plan, substitutions, who's active or not. And we talked about it. And it's crazy to watch these guys. Now, I know we drafted Bond a few years ago. Now, was it? So when we drafted him, whose decision was it to say, hey, we're going to make him pay linebacker? Was it Allen? Was it because we drafted him and Peyton was still here? So it was either one. But either way, it was a bad decision because Bond has done pretty much nothing until we finally lined him up as a pass rusher, which is what he was. And how about that? He's actually decent at it. How about that?
It's insane. Bourne
was in pressuring DeVito on at least four that I can remember today. All right, I think he had half a sack, but he was in on four. And Passanio obviously had his 2.5 sacks, and he was the one that was chasing DeVito when DeVito got the intentional grounding penalty as well. So he's impacting.
And I just would say, like, if we were the best team in the league at rushing the passer, and we're one of the elite teams in the league at rushing the passer, and we had Zach Bond over there go, man, I could be good at this too. But we're like, yeah, we're good. We've got plenty of people that know how to rush the passer. And then he left to go to another team and became a good pass rusher. We'd be like, oh, damn. Well, but it's okay. We were good at it, so we just didn't have a chance to figure it out. Like, we're one of the worst teams in the league at rushing the passer. Like, we should have been giving anybody who looks like they could get after the quarterback some sort of shot and get them on a few snaps. I mean, just see if they're good. I mean, people have made jokes about can Taysom Hill rush the passer because he's done so many other goofy things. Maybe Zach Bond should get a mention in team meetings before Taysom Hill.
I mean, again, it was the one good thing that Bond did in college. He was a great pass rusher.
Yeah, that's what he did.
He was a great pass rusher. And even when we drafted him, we're like, hey, holy shit, he can rush the passer. Let's put him down as an outside rush the passer. And we didn't do that.
We're not figuring this out. This isn't his rookie year. This isn't halfway through it. He's 3.5 years that Zach Bond has been in the Saints system. And we're just now like seeing it.
We're just finally realizing. And
he played at Wisconsin. He played at a big school. It's not like he was doing this against, you know.
It's not like he was at Sam Houston State, like another former guy.
Yeah. So it's crazy that we haven't tried it. It's crazy that he's actually good at it. And it's also crazy that we go back to the original thing. It was stupid to draft him and be like, hey, you're going to be an inside linebacker. Yeah. Like, I mean, that you've never done in your entire life.
Yeah. It wasn't great.
So speaking of a linebacker, DeMario Davis today.
Oh man,
my goodness!
Wow,
did he return from like Cam's version of COVID or something? This was the Cam Jordan COVID game where it's like, oh, you know, you're getting a little older, you kind of struggled, and then holy crap!
Is there some kind of mid-season like he secretly flew to Germany and got platelets spun and injected into him, and now he's back. Like, there's something going on, because he was, and I'll say it today, and it was the Dome, you know, there were still some empty seats. It wasn't like last week. I know before the game started, pictures were out there. I'm like, oh, yeah, more empty seats. It wasn't like last week, but I thought there would be more Giants fans. I mean, there were a decent number, but it wasn't a ton. But I can tell you, like, the crowd was as into it as I could have expected early, and the defense fucking balled out today. They came to play. There was an energy. There was a fire to them. And yeah, DeMario was fucking fantastic today. Like, they came to play today. They were on it. And yes, look, the Giants, I guess they suck. And I remember the guy from the Giants last week, he mentioned their lines were terrible. I mean, yeah, it helps, but still, the defense was fired up. They played well. There was more energy today than there was last week, for sure.
Well, at this point, I'm not going to even like discount the Saints' effort for the team that they played against sucked, because we've played against other sucky teams this year and not played good.
Yeah.
And we've lost to sucky teams. We've made games close to sucky teams. Last week, we played one of the worst teams I've ever seen. And we're the one score game in the
fourth quarter. What's funny? The worst team I've ever seen in person last week beat the Falcons today.
It's so funny.
It's amazing. James, you were smart. You were on it.
Yeah,
I did that for you. Nothing. I did that for you, James. You were pissed at me in the Pick'em show. I did it for you.
I'm saying nothing. But yeah,
I want to say just by the way, Isaac Yiadom, I don't know where this came from, but three passes defense today again. And like this week it was not because the quarterback was throwing the ball to Isaac Yiadom instead of the receiver. Like, he's on guys and making plays. Like, it's crazy to see. And again, I think some of it's who we're playing and the quarterbacks we're playing, but the games that we've had problems in, or any of the games, it hasn't been because Marshawn Lattimore is out, which is just like silly to say out loud.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, going back to the defense, the only points the Giants scored today were because of penalties that the Saints conceded to extend drives. You know, the first one was the running into the kicker. And then I
still
remember.
Don't know how. I still don't know how we didn't block the punt. When I saw it happen, I was like, "Oh God, he's going to block it!" Like, no, how did he not?
It looked like he pulled at the very last second. Like it was, he had to go all out fly, and he like thought, you could tell he thought he was going to be able to get it because the kicker kind of leaned towards him because that left-handed guy kind of goes towards that side.
Could we have called the Giants punt a rugby style kicker just for that play?
He did that. Like
he
and
is
I don't
Scottish,
know if
there's a
rule,
so
one step or three steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. So their punter is Scottish. So, you could have done. The other thing I want to talk about with the defense, and we mentioned it earlier on when, Jason, you talked about the only booing that happened today, was that call on Alonte Taylor.
Oh, God.
It was a perfect tackle.
Yeah. Shoulder to shoulder. And especially, like, if you're going to call a penalty like that, especially with all – now that they have replay, if you're going to call a play like that, like in the moment, I could see it might be bang bang, like it looked like,
but it wasn't.
He may have, but it's so hard because the defender goes down, the player with the ball could go down. It's always a questionable thing. But if you're going to throw a flag, if you have replay at your disposal, use it for a play like that where you can clearly see it was a legal play because it was 100% a legal tackle, shoulder to shoulder. He didn't hit him in the head. He didn't lead with his helmet. It was shoulder to shoulder. So, I mean, we're asking the NFL to do – we're asking a $15 billion entity to do too much. I mean, the officiating's been bad all year, and they never change it because people keep watching. They don't have to do it. But that is the typical play where, yes – that we called it, let's just take a double check and just verify that, yes, it was, because it was a massive penalty.
Yeah, it was. And in college, that would have been reviewed.
Oh, yeah, right.
But you could just tell, like, the umpire calling it was behind the tight end that was being hit, so he didn't have a view of either one of them's helmets or Alante's shoulder. And it's like, I get it that you think that, like, filling in the blanks with your brain of, oh, I bet this happened on the other side of that human body. But if you didn't see it, you didn't see it. Like, that would be like calling a face mask from directly behind because a guy dips his head forward. Like, that doesn't mean his face mask was pulled. And just because Alonte Taylor hit that guy in the front doesn't mean it was helmet to helmet. And so,
yeah.
I don't know. Having said that, I would say that I don't know if it's right, but the call they didn't call on DeVito for the autumn hit is called 90% of the time. And I get it. In slow motion, you watch it and go, oh, he stayed up too long. He had plenty of time to slide. And Yottam hit him in the back. And so I'm not saying it should have been a penalty when you watch it in slow motion, but it's usually called.
Yeah. They threw a flag, right?
Yeah,
for
right.
It,
and well, then, it's and funny. Like in the dome, the guy was the official threw the flag. It fell out of his pocket. It went on the ground, but he ran up and picked it. And he was like, whoo. Was so quick to throw it, and initially it looked like it was a penalty either way. Now DeVito like laid down and was like playing dead, so I was like, all right, dude, don't do that. Like, but initially it's like, all right, it looks like a foul, but on the replay he didn't initiate his slide yet when he got hit, so it really I think it was called correctly.
Already started his attempt at a tackle, but so he was already horizontal in the air. Mm-hmm. To make the tackle before DeVito.
Exactly. So at the end of the day, it was the right call. In real time, yeah, it looked like it was the right call. But again, when he flopped on the ground, it's like, come on, dude.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Derek Carr. His best performance as a Saint?
It was a pretty good performance. I mean, early on
without
in the game.
Without Olave, without Michael Thomas.
I mean, he's still early on in the game. He's still, there were some plays where I thought, and I was getting frustrated, like throw the ball down the field. No, he'll throw his 3-yard pass, his 4-yard pass. And a couple times our receivers kind of made it work and got more yardage. But it's funny. There was one play where Taysom was in at quarterback and he dropped back and he kind of padded and he didn't throw it deep because somebody was open. And then he had, number 5 wide open on the sideline, and that would have been a 15-yard play, and he's completely missed them. I was so ready to boo, being that it was Derek Carr, and then I realized, holy shit, it wasn't Derek Carr. It was Taysom instead, so I'm like, nope, not going to boo.
Yeah, that pass out in the flat is probably the reason why Derek Carr isn't an NFL starting quarterback, because Lynn Bowden Jr. was wide open with 20 yards in front of him.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I mean, it's Carr played a pretty good game. He had a good completion percentage. He
passer rating of 134.3, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, for the most part, he was on. There was one pass that he threw to A.T. Perry. It was a bad pass, but Perry still caught it.
That was going behind him as he was coming across the middle. Yeah.
But I mean, other than that, he played a pretty good. I mean, he played a good game. There's really not a lot you can complain about. Like this was definitely Carr's.
Today was what we thought we were going to get from the Saints: suffocating defense and a quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over, can move the team down the field, and can score
convert in the red zone.
And convert in the red zone. Or is there? Is Dennis Allen calls it the red area, and it annoys the shit out of me.
Oh, God.
The red zone.
Of course he calls it the red area.
So today was pretty much what we thought we were going to get. Mm-hmm. 25 to 30 points, concede less than 20, you're going to win most of your games. Now,
defense
if that's
didn't
the blueprint,
give up a point in the second half,
No. If that's going into the third quarter, they only had 101 yards of offense, the Giants.
And we didn't have Olave today.
No. But if that's the blueprint for winning, we know we can do it. The problem is we turn up one week and then we disappear the week after. And, you know, we'll talk about Thursday's game later in the week. I know. I'm not confident for Thursday night at all.
Oh. Look, the Rams of the three teams we have left, and even the last two teams we played. I mean, Carolina was terrible. The Giants are terrible. It's good. Look, we had to win. We beat them.
Yeah.
The Rams are going to be the best team of the bunch. I don't expect to beat the Rams. And even Tampa won today.
Green Bay shit the bed.
Yeah. So Tampa won today, but I mean, Atlanta lost to Carolina in front of 10 fans. So
yeah, that might be them done now. The Falcons.
So, I mean, let's
say
we lose to the Rams, but then beat the next two and we finish 9-8. Yeah. That's record prediction.
The scary thing is currently, as it stands right now, we are the 7th seed.
So I know I was listening on the
radio. So a team that is 7-7 is currently in the last wild card spot.
It's the NFC, man. And there's a bunch of 8-6 teams now in the AFC. Like somebody's going to be left out. But they mentioned that both Tampa and Atlanta still have an AFC game to go. So I think like our NFC records are what they are, and losing to the Rams is not going to help our NFC record. But it's going to come down to the Tampa game. If we beat Tampa, that'll help. We'll even up the series. But they may still nudge us by a game.
So they are playing. They are playing the Jags next week.
Oh, okay, yeah. Come on, Jacksonville.
Then they play us. Then they play the Panthers.
Oh.
Yeah. So less than ideal. Anyway,
this is for Tuesday's show.
Yeah, this is the instant reaction to today's game. And I think this is probably the first time this year we've not really got anything to complain about on the field.
No, I was thinking about that. I mean, it was a pretty good, it was a decent dome atmosphere. I got to finally take the new we went into a different gate today, so I finally got to take the new escalators up that they've been touting in the pictures.
It's
kind of nice, I guess.
Still no signal in your seat though.
Oh, no. So that was one thing too. So the last two games, I'd been upgraded and I had different different seats, and I had a good signal.
Trying to do to you there, then, don't you? If you want an internet signal, you got to pay more for your seat.
Okay, but you still also have, 20 or 30,000 people up top. I mean, there's always going to be those people. You always have to sell those tickets. But apparently Renee was mentioned because they put different, boosters or things in the dome, but they must have put them lower where it doesn't reach up top, which is just absurd to me. Like, just put them on the fucking roof so everybody can get them. It's still pretty absurd that you're just going to, shit all over all the lunatic fans up top like us who are loud, who are crazy. Just give us a freaking signal. That's all I ask. It's not much.
Yeah. Allow us to watch other games on our phone when we're losing heavily.
Just allow me to check in and text with everybody. That's it.
Yeah. Allow me to watch the start of the Pelicans game whilst I'm in the Superdome.
Exactly. But there was something, and you had mentioned, so before the game, we went to our normal tailgate, and Mark Daly was here. This is his third straight game. He's been here for the last.
Yeah, he does it every December. He's
going home on Tuesday. And then I remember he kept calling somebody. Scottish Hudet came in with the giant UK Saints flag. Apparently, it was at the game last week in the end zone.
It was behind the end zone. It was on TV quite a lot last week. Yeah.
And they told him to take it down. So he came up. We took a giant picture and I posted it on Twitter. But then you mentioned that apparently at the game, he brought it in and the Superdome security slashed it.
Yeah. So it was, he hung it over the side of, I think he was in the 600 section.
Okay.
So we hung it over the side. So it was on show. It wasn't covering anything other than, I think, the S and the A of the word Saints. Mm-hmm. That's all it was covering. I've got a picture on my phone because somebody sent it to me. And at some point during the game, police came in and cut the rope or the string,
couple strings to hang it up.
And tried to take it away. And said that it was being thrown away. And then apparently he went down to talk to them. And then some other Saints fans stopped it and they gave it back to him. But when they gave it back to him, they'd slashed a hole right down the middle of the flag.
Why would they?
No idea, mate. I mean, look, I've got some thoughts on this. I'm just going to go ahead and say it now.
Do it.
After London last year, which was a great weekend. We all had a great weekend. The Saints as an organization, considering they were the home team, did absolutely nothing for the fans. Absolutely nothing. We put on something for fans to come to that was really well received. But the Saints did nothing. It is pretty clear to me that they do not give a shit about the international fan base. Now, they've got some marketing link up with France now, apparently. So I can bet your bottom dollar that there'll be a Saints game in France in a couple of years when they start moving games into Paris. Mm-hmm. I just think it's absolutely disgusting. Now, I don't know if anybody from the Saints organization will listen to this or hear this, but please get in touch if there's something that you can do for the guy from the UK who's traveled all the way over to America to watch the game. And he was there last week for the Panthers game as well. So this isn't just it's bloody expensive to do it. Mm-hmm. And his Union Jack flag with a fleur-de-lis in the middle that just says Huda and UK on it, mm-hmm. been vandalized essentially and for nothing. So it leaves a bit of a sour note for him because he spent all of his money to come over and watch some games for his own personal possessions to be vandalized. So yeah, sorry, that is something to complain about. Absolutely disgusting. Saints, you need to do better.
You need to be better. What's funny, you mentioned they don't appear to care about international fans. Hell, I think they barely care about New Orleans fans. They just assume the tickets are going to sell, they're going to be good. And again, we talked about it. The people in the front office over the last 15 years was because they were doing something good. Like they were doing something right. They were sort of like, no, it was Drew and Sean that did everything. They didn't even have to do their job. And now that they're gone, they're just like, whatever we did, it worked because we were successful. No, that's not how it works. So there's a lot of people in that organization that are kind of clueless. And, I know that's more of a big picture thing, but it was frustrating, especially since I got to meet him. I took the picture today it's funny. He unfurled the flag and we're like, holy shit, this flag is massive. We needed four people to spread out.
I mean, you remember Ash's flag? It was Ash's flag is a lot smaller than that one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right. That's kind of what I didn't expect something as big as what it was.
Yeah, no. But that guy whose flag it is did a lot and does a lot for
CJ,
UK
I think,
fans.
Was his name?
CK. Yeah, CK, he does a lot for UK fans in terms of sourcing tickets. He's got ways. So for having somebody who does a lot for the UK Saints fan base in terms of sorting out tickets for people and things like that, to then have that happen when he's over in America is absolutely disgusting. And to be fair, the Saints they've got to do better. Yeah. They have to do better.
Anybody who can grow and push your team and your fan base, you should definitely reward him and never penalize him like that.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. So if anybody from the Saints is listening, please get in touch if there's anything you can do. I doubt there is. So, you know,
that's okay. We'll, I have somebody I can call.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe, you know, if you need any information from me, just let me know and I'll pass it on. So, yeah, there is something to complain about, but that's off the field. That's off the field.
This was one of the more fun Sundays that I've had at the game. You know, didn't wear my Diddly Poo shirt today, wore my Vilma jersey.
Yeah. Well, Vilma was on commentary today for the second week in a row.
That's kind of why I wore it. I knew he was going to be on the commentary today.
Him and Kenny Albert 2 weeks in a row. And I've got to say, Kenny Albert is, he is a lot younger than he sounds. He sounds like a really old man when you listen to him on the commentary, but he's not old at all, is he?
I don't know. I think he might be older than you think. I mean, I know he's Marv Albert's son, and I just assumed because I didn't like Marv Albert was older than I thought. Because Marv Albert, I think now is retired, but Marv Albert's probably like 75, 80. But that means but like Kenny Albert at this point he might be like 55. I don't know.
But I thought he sounds older. Anyway, that's going off topic. Yeah.
Hey, when the Saints win, what do we have to talk yeah, about? Let's go off on Kenny Albert tangents.
That's true. Any final thoughts, Jason?
Final thoughts. I don't know. I enjoyed the game today. I'm enjoying the nice run the Pelicans are on. You know, we don't want to do a full bore Pelican plunge because that didn't work before the Vegas in season tournament. But since then, we've kind of come out with the fire. And you know, I'm trying to find some excitement here. I will tease. So I do have a thought about Dennis Allen overall and what kind of where the Saints team is. And I'll bring it up on the Tuesday show.
Okay.
It is kind of an overall discussion.
Okay.
It's just something. I kind of.
You're teasing a segment. I like it.
I wish I would have.
Like a mid-credit scene in a Marvel film.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. But I did kind of think about it last week, and I didn't bring it up on the show last week. But. Yeah, just kind of thinking of kind of where we are and what's our path the next couple of years. So,
I'll tell you one thing for certain. If we carry on winning, he ain't going anywhere.
Well, that kind of goes part into what I'm saying. But
I won't say anymore.
I think like one of his opening things at his press conference today after the game was like, "I'm going to just say this right now. I don't think I'm going to get that many questions about bad quarterback play today. So let's just get that out of the way."
Yeah, he said something like, "I want it on record that the quarterback kind of played well today, didn't he?" And then just kind of quickly moved on.
It's like, all right, dude. Well, you don't have to be an asshole about it, dude.
Asshole. We had a coach who would be worse than that for 15 plus years, didn't we, in his press conferences? So I don't mind seeing a little bit of sass from Dennis Allen, to be honest. I don't mind it.
Well, you saw it last night with the Broncos getting destroyed and Peyton had a little argument with Russell. He's like, whatever I tell to him, that's my business. That's not your business. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, well, I'm sure if people can lip read, they can pretty much figure out what what he said. All right, is that everything, yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that's all the show we have for you this week, so thank you for listening. You can listen to the Dome Patrol podcast wherever you get your podcast from. You can follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. If you want to join the Game Day Discord chat, hit us up for an invite and we will send you the link. Say bye-bye, donkey.
Bye-bye, under 500 donkeys. It's Trigger! Sorry, he just made a three.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg,
This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The Dome Patrol podcast is the official Saints podcast of the Fans First Sports Network.